Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of What in the Wellness. As always, I love to hear your feedback, suggestions for new topics, questions that you would like answered, maybe even a guest that you would like to have on, or maybe you'd like to be the guest yourself. Either way, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to reach me by email or message. You guys know where to do that. Now, let's get started for today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of What in the Wellness. I am your host, Ansling Knopf, and today I am excited to introduce you to my very own coach, Billy King, and talk a little bit about his personal journey, his professional journey, his coaching journey, and because you guys are awesome, we're going to talk a little bit about my journey and experience as a recent first-time competitor in a powerlifting meet and our experience working together through that. Billy is a retired Army veteran who writes music and is learning to produce. He's a longtime assistant coach who recently started taking clients of his own. He began training in December of 2014 after being retired for over a year. And he's going to tell us a little bit about his personal story, but he was in bad shape and walking around at, he says, 293 pounds. And so he's decided to start making changes after 2 years of working on his own. He learned about I3 Strength and Performance, which is also my gym. And he met his coach Brandon there and became a competitive powerlifter. He says that so casually. He's also, I'm pretty sure, a record holder right now. So we'll let him talk about that, even though he doesn't like talking about himself that much. And he's also an employee there as well. And then now he's also coaching solo as a, I guess, instead of assistant coach, we'd call it like head coach maybe. And he took on my husband and myself, and he has other clients now as well. Billy, I'm so excited that we're doing this. I've been like talking about it forever. So welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I know we've been talking about it forever, and you know, we're finally here. It's going to be a good time.
Definitely. If I don't, you know, keep laughing the entire time, you guys might actually,
if you don't laugh the entire time, then I did not do my job.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So to get started, you are a retired Army veteran. So that was obviously maybe like first career. And then
second, actually. So I didn't join the Army right out of high school. I actually went to college right out of high school, dropped out very soon after because college is expensive, you know. So I was trying to go to school full time to get a bachelor's in music education with a specificity with the piano and classical guitar. Nice. I did not have any music education outside of just playing guitar in my room. Now, thankfully, I have some natural ability because if not, I'd be screwed. Because people ask me like theory questions when I'll be like, I don't know. I know that when I move my fingers this way, they make this particular pattern and it makes this sound. And that's what I know about music theory.
In theory, I play music.
Theoretically, I'm a musician. Yes, exactly. But yeah, school got expensive, like really expensive. And like all my savings that I'd had like right out of high school were basically dumped into the first semester and drained immediately. Mm. Like I think I spent like $6,000 in the first 3 months, you know, not including my my instruments.
Wow.
It was like, wow, because I already had those, thankfully. But I had to drop out of college. And then because it was Millsville, Georgia, jobs weren't exactly aplenty, as we'll call them. It was either I would go to work at Walmart or I joined my uncle's siding crew. So I went into construction for a few years. I worked with them. I did everything from siding to roofing to interior. Trying to go back to school? Because I'd saved a bunch of money from that. But working part-time and still trying to go to school then, it just no one would hire. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? Well, I've got an apartment at this point. Like I left the house immediately and, you know, branched out on my own. So I went to work at Kmart. That tells you how long ago that was.
Yeah. They're in Kmarts anymore.
A little bit on the gray side, but that's all right. You know, we don't say it out loud, but, what is it? So I was working at Kmart and, you know, they offered me a full-time position out there. And I'm like, you know what? I can't go back to school right now. Because, you know, I can't go to school and work, but I have to get food somehow. And school's right. Not doing that. Or I keep taking out loans. I didn't want to take out loans. So I started working there full time. Working at Kmart full time doesn't pay all the bills. So I contacted a friend of mine through the guys I worked siding with. And he, his name's Mark Salter. He runs CNR Cabinets in Milledgeville. He's like, yeah, man, come on in. You got a good record. I'll put you with my head guy, Mike. And Mike showed me the ropes and it was on from there. So I went from working full-time construction, trying to go back to school, to full-time Kmart, to part-time Kmart, to full-time cabinet shop. And it still wasn't paying the bills. I'm like, oh man, something's got to give. So, was it through the beckoning of my family? I had no intention of joining the army. None. I was a little hippie kid. it was ridiculous. Long hair, everything. Like the person you see now is, if I can find it, I'll send it to you. There are photos. They do exist, and they're hilarious. We're talking like bright neon shirts and JNCO jeans, and I am not ashamed.
That is a statement. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have no idea. Wait till you see him. so, excuse me. So I talked to an army recruiter, and you know, the only thing I was worried about was, okay, what kind of technical experience, because I already worked vocational jobs, could I get from this? And you know, the big question, what's the pay? And they were going to pay me starting off exactly what I was making working two jobs already. And you know, with living in the barracks, whatnot, meal subsidies, everything else, eating from the defect, I was actually in a position to start saving money for a change and start paying off all my college loans. Mm-hmm. As where before, you know, I was making the bare minimum payment, if that, every month.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, okay, this is a good opportunity. So let me take it. I did that. So I joined when I was just about to turn 22, because I turned 22 in basic. And that's always an interesting dynamic to run into when you're already like living on your own, and then you run into a bunch of high schoolers basically who have never done anything for themselves in their life, and now they're joining a branch that basically does and takes care of everything for them. You're like, oh wow, that's interesting.
That is interesting. You're like, can I get promoted faster if I'm already self-dependent?
Man. Oh. So Billy had a mouth on him too, and I don't know how I wasn't like, it's not a thing, but I don't know how I wasn't like excommunicated from the army at some point for running a smart ass mouth. I should have been demoted at least 7 times. I wasn't. Thank you to my NCOs who were amazing, because I was a problem child and a half. I didn't get into trouble a whole lot, but if you said something stupid, I wasn't going to let it sit regardless of your rank. So, gotta love that. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, just, I was just commenting sassy. Sassy. Oh.
Sassy's a nice way to put it. anyway, that led to a 9.5 year long career in 2 deployments. Wow. Now, unfortunately, towards the end of my career, I was separated for a mental health disorder that I'd developed over the years, namely from the first tour. And to be fair to the Army, you know, love them or hate them, they tried. You know, they screw up 100 miles per hour, but they do try. like the mental health resources and stuff we had back then, there, regardless of what people say, now there wasn't a big stigma amongst my group, but there's still a big stigma in the Army about getting help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot of people that I worked for who wouldn't go do it because they didn't want it on their NCOERs.
Yeah.
You know, because they wanted to stay competitive with everyone else. And it was literally just a big thing where everybody was lying about it.
Yeah.
Like everyone needed help and no one would come out and do it because they didn't want their careers to be in jeopardy. So I get that, you know, as sad as the situation may be. But that was more or less at the beginning of, you know, their big push to really try to help us. Cause they, as we've discussed, they tell you how to turn the aggression and, you know, tunnel vision switch on, but they don't know how to turn it off. So they don't teach you to turn it off, and mm-hmm. it's always on. And you're like, oh God.
Like, I don't think this is healthy.
Yeah, I don't think this is healthy. I'm angry all the time and I want to punch everything. Yeah, it's probably not a healthy thing or healthy place to be.
No, for so many reasons.
yeah, that was a good time. I made a lot of good memories. I still talk, especially my first crew. I still talk to a lot of them to this day. The second crew, I still do too. Just not quite the same. It's hard to explain to them because for a lot of them, it was their first tour. You know, I'm a part of that, just as the other guys were a part of that for me. So I can understand it both ways. You know, some of them I keep in contact a little bit more than others. Just kind of the way things roll as time goes on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I retired in August of 2013, and in some of the worst mental and physical shape I have ever been in. And I'm not exaggerating when I say I was eating at least 2 to 3 large pizzas a day. Like, I was drinking like 2 liters of some kind of Coke or Dr. Pepper. Well, more so Dr. Pepper, because Dr. Pepper is amazing. Dr. Pepper is sent by Jesus. I don't care who says it. but yeah, a disgusting lifestyle. I went from, so at my heaviest in the Army, keep in mind, I wasn't strength training in the Army the way I do now. Mm-hmm. It took a lot of time, a lot of unlearning misinformation and bad habits to get to where I'm at now. As we're in the Army, you know, you're just kind of like working hard all the time, and you're also doing a little bit of bro workouts and stuff like that while you're downrange. Right. Or, I mean, that's what they are. You know, I was like, hey, my biceps look great. Yay. You know, not thinking, say, like, oh, my triceps have 3 heads. Maybe if I want my arms to get bigger, I should work those more. Like, nah. Whoops. Anyway, so.
Gotta look, I gotta look good in those extra small, you know, t-shirts.
Yeah. Extra small, all cotton, like non-fitted t-shirts. Yeah. with your big flowy combat pants and jacket on. That's funny too, because I went from a green uniform to a desert uniform to an ACU uniform. Like in that 10-year period that they were changing through uniforms so often. So I have one of each. The only thing I didn't get is the dress blues. Just because I, again, you know, poor alcoholic lifestyles, you know, don't net to spending your clothing allowance on the proper things.
So, who needs dress uniforms?
You know, who needs uniforms for a organization that you work for that literally requires you to wear a uniform to everything? Who knew?
It's no big deal.
If I was still Sergeant King now, I would have a conversation with Sergeant King back then, and he would not be happy about it.
He'd be like, what? I got to drink less and buy more clothes?
Yeah. Where's your money? Stop it.
Stop it. Get help. No, really.
Yeah, that's a lot of vodka, dude. You don't need, no, you don't need, you're doing, okay. You're doing a thing. Well, here we go. Was it, now a lot of things contributed to that mental health separation, everything from not dealing with, as probably an inaccurate description, but you know, I would say the most fun description that I use for it is the ghosts of war. Mm-hmm. You know, we unfortunately had people injured. Some people didn't come back with us that first time around. And I've had like family members and stuff pass away and whatnot, but I never knew how to deal with it. So I just never dealt with it. I was like, mm-hmm. Okay, well, they're just gone now. You know, that's not a very healthy way to do that. But, you know, until you know, like there's no, for the most part, people don't teach that to you because they don't even know how to deal with it.
Right.
You know, so I can't like blame my parents or teachers or mentors or anything around that time. They didn't know how to deal with it better. And a lot of them still don't. And, you know, that's okay. It just, you know, me being in a position I am now, hopefully I can, you know, make ripples in time that will eventually correct that. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
If not, then, I mean, there'll be chicken wings or something. I mean, something nice will happen. I'm getting off track here. The separation. So dealing with the separation, whatnot, dealing with those mental health problems. On top of that, dealing with an engagement that just went horribly sour. Mm. Like, which is funny because I'd preach to guys all the time about, you know, getting involved with a certain type of people. You know, that, you know, marriage under certain circumstances is a really poor idea. And there I was 100 miles per hour doing the stupid thing. Well, do you really know this stuff the way you say you do? I don't think you do. So all that stuff compiled on each other, you know, I eventually broke, you know, as any, you know, reasonable human being would. It was actually the day my unit was supposed to, because I was in charge of their equipment while they were gone. So I had their hand receipt for everything. And the day I was supposed to lay out that hand receipt for them, like I had no help to do anything. I had to figure out everything on my own. For the most part, like our supply NCO at the time was already transitioning out. She took the time to get with everybody else but me. I'm like, I literally work in the commander's office. We're across the hall from each other. you can't take, you know, 30 minutes out of your day to walk through the Connex to tell me what it is I'm looking for these things. I mean, yeah, I could read the T&HMs and figure it out myself, but I got to figure it out for myself. So
a little help here would have been helpful.
Well, I made it all the way because I left my barracks are right across the street from the headquarters building I was working in. And I left my work documents in there because I didn't have an office at the time. I worked in the commander's office and I didn't want to, you know, that's his office. You know, we keep that, you know, upkept for him. I didn't want all my NCO stuff and whatnot in his office, you know, cluttering up his, you know, even though it was just a side desk, whatnot. And I wanted to make sure it looked like it's a commander's office and, you know, people, you know, come in, respect it. So I'm walking across the street to get this thing and I stopped like right in the middle of the road, like just looking down, like everything was just kind of like hit a big crescendo in my head and like, you know what? I'm done. And without all the details, it was dealing with suicidal ideations up until that point. You know, I fought them for so long. And at this point I was just like, you know what? I don't care anymore. Like I'd be okay with this. And then I snapped out of it. I'm like, oh no, that's not okay. Thankfully, where we were at the time, Leadwood Barracks, there was a mental health clinic at the very end of the road. So I did not meet that other commander in the parking lot to lay out his items because I was in the hospital. I marched my ass right over there. I'm like, I am not okay. That led to was it my eventual separation, whatnot. And thankfully, they retired me for it, which I'm like, always extremely grateful for. While they're transitioning me out, they moved me to Augusta, Fort Gordon, rather. I had my brothers were here at the time. My aunt, my uncle, they live in Appling. So I had family here. Mm-hmm. And transition out was a little bit easier because of that. I stayed with them for a while. Bought my own house a little further down the road from them. But now as far as like my health and fitness. So when I got back to the States, I was 215 before I left Germany. When I got back to the States, I was about 235, 240 pounds because I was just eating away all my emotions and, you know. And then by time I finally left from my terminal leave in August 2013, I was 265 pounds. And that just got worse and worse over the next year. And it was December of 2014 that finally stepped on the scale. And it said 292.7 or 8 pounds, something like that. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, I knew I was fat. I knew I was overweight. But I was like, wow, you really let this get out of control. So funny enough, my brother Matthew, that you know, I wouldn't go to the gym. I was embarrassed. I was terrified. You know, I was just this beach ball in a you know, Henley, trying to walk around and not look like a beach ball in a Henley. And I was telling him, like, I need to do something. I'm terrified to do it, and I don't want to go do it by myself. He said, okay, I'll go with you. So I signed us both up memberships over at Gold's North Augusta, and for the first 6 months before I actually got a trainer, he would work out with me, essentially. You know, I would do all the bro workouts with him because he still does it to this day. But I mean, he's lucky he's you know, attractive. He's a handsome dude.
Brotherly love.
always. He actually messaged me on Facebook this morning. He posted something, and I guess it's one of those douche shoots. Where these guys are in like, cut off flannels and jorts.
Oh my God.
And like trucker hats. He's like,
oh no.
Hey, what do I need to do to convince you to do this? I'm like, nothing, I'll do it. So I guess he wants to do one together, and I'll call some of my photographer friends for the next time he comes out here, and we'll do a douche shoot
together. Oh, that will be just fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait. But yeah, he started training with me for a while. And then, I started with one trainer named April here. I think she goes by She-Hulk. She's a physique competitor, I believe. Jack to the gills. Really, really awesome person. Really sweet person too. Then I went from training with her. I wanted to get more powerlifting specific because, you know, at that time, super training, whatnot was getting popular. And I've always been a big fan of the deadlift just because of the nature of what it is. It's just, you know, raw strength, which there's a lot more to it than that. But at the time I saw it as raw strength of being able to pick up one big heavy thing off the ground.
Right.
You know, like I want to be able to do that, you know. And then, yeah, I started seeing people like not necessarily a powerlifter, but Eddie Hall. As of recently, Hafir Bjornsson. All these guys can deadlift really well, but I wanted to do the powerlifting specific deadlift because that looked like the hardest version of it. Mm. I couldn't use straps. You know, I like my technique and everything had to be on point, which it was not for a long time. Actually, I had one of those Facebook memories pop up the other day of the first time I pulled 365. Yeah. Oof. Oof is right.
Those like, memories. Make it stop.
So proud of myself. I'm like, oh, you disgusting creature.
You poor thing, you just don't know yet. Yeah. But you're gonna get better, I promise.
Let me help you out, little guy. I got you. That was also before I finally filled up the beard. For the longest time I just ran with a chin strap. I didn't have a mustache or anything, which looked ridiculous, but I was all about it at the time.
We live and we learn, it's all fun.
Yeah, right. So I went from training with Zach. Now Zach was cool for a long time. Now he wasn't specifically a powerlifting coach. He just he had a degree, I believe, in kinesiology. So he's really smart with that kind of stuff. He got me started though, for sure. And I went from training with him to a couple of online coaches that really weren't doing it for me. Like I'm very much a big proponent of one-on-one just because of, you know, how much more you get out of it. You know, that it's like I program for you and Brandon programs for me. It's one thing for him to program for me, but it's always the one-on-one things because of all the things that he's looking for and all the little corrections and stuff we make that make such an astronomical difference in how I move the weight, how I build certain musculature, how I feel afterwards, just because I'm using the muscles I'm supposed to and the way that I'm supposed to and the most optimal way possible. So I'm a big proponent of that. And I heard whisperings of this, you know, unicorn of a gym called I3. I'm like, how's that? And like for the first couple months, I didn't go. They've been open since January of 2016 at that time. And I was one of my buddies gave me a card that I worked out around. I'm like, you know what? What's the worst thing that could happen? Let me go see these guys. I think I called them first and then I actually went in and I didn't meet Brandon first. I met Marlon first. If anyone knows Marlon, that's always a treat and a half. He's a very animated fellow and I try my best to help fill those shoes every day that he's gone. But there's only one Marlon. There always will only be one Marlon. So I scheduled a consult with Brandon through him. And something I really love about Brandon too is he's so consistent. Mm. Like now people change over time. Don't get me wrong. And he most certainly has, as anyone would. But the way he approaches everything is still very much the same. Very, very stoic. Very, this is my expectation. This is what you want to do. I'm going to help you. But this is how you're going to do it type thing, you know. Not a whole lot of now I say that now as every day that he's in there, I make a point that if I don't make him laugh in some way, then I have failed for the day. Like, I will get some emotion out of this man if I have to pry it out of him. I'll say just stupid off the wall stuff, you know, like anything I possibly can just to get a rise out of him, knowing that what I'm saying is just going to be completely stupid when he hears it. And then if I get a little chuckle, I'm like, okay, cool. It's going to be a good day.
Problem out of the way, solved, check mark, goal accomplished.
Right. Which was it? He's having a surgery this week, so I'm hoping that goes well. He should be having it today actually. So he's gonna be home for a few days, so that means I have to think of the dumbest texts I could possibly send him for the next 3 days just so he feels at home, you know,
just so he feels at home. Right, like he's gonna miss he's gonna miss his daily chuckle.
Exactly.
And laughter brings healing. So the more you can make him laugh, you know, the faster he's going to heal up. So
That's what I like to think. Or yeah. He's going to have an aneurysm. And either way, he's not going to have to worry about it. Maybe that's a little too dark. Oops. I'm not sorry.
Some
you
people
laughed.
Just laughed hysterically. And some people were like, what?
So yeah, right? Like, you either gained 40% of your audience or you just lost it. My bad. Oh, come on. Laugh at everything. Like, if you got to.
Your health will improve if you laugh. So maybe just go back, try again, and then laugh this time and you're fine. Don't take it seriously.
You know, that's good advice in general. Like, we can, I look at the situation that I went through before, and, you know, whether it be relationships or situations or business partnerships and stuff that didn't work out, you know, it's real easy to kind of just get like super frustrated and down the dumps about it. But if I'm just like, you know, just laugh at it. Like, even if you can't try. You know, watch Bill Burr for like 10 seconds. I promise he'll get a giggle out of you. Just whatever you got to do, because if being stuck on that kind of stuff, it's one thing if I'm working through it and I'm looking for a solution. Mm-hmm. It's another thing if I'm just kind of like dwelling on it, like, woe is me. And that's not helpful.
Right.
So I'm like, let's think of the most stupid off the wall thing from this that I possibly can and laugh about it.
About it. I mean, that really ties us into so much of stuff that we've worked on, which is I take everything very, very seriously, especially when it comes to my personal training. That's something we've had to work on with when to be serious, be focused, be like all mm-hmm. in, and then how to just, okay, it's feedback. Let's chill out. Let's laugh. You know, like, let's not get too in your head about it.
Yeah.
So you can just
and you did a good job. I don't know what you think about it, but you did. You know, and you're still learning the balance with that too. Like, take everything with a grain of salt. This was your first competition, and it's not even the first competition you set out to do. You set out to do a Power X competition like two years ago.
It was 2019. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. So the everything that, you know, you went through that brought you to that point, you know, it's what you wanted now. But if we'd asked you back in 2019, you know, if that's what you're going to end up doing, you'd ask either of us, like, and if I'd ask you if you wanted to do a powerlifting meet, you're like, probably no. If you'd ask me, it's like, do you plan on coaching athletes? I'm like, no. And here we are.
So, yeah, definitely. My gosh. Okay. So there's definitely stuff I'm going to jump in with part two on that, because I think there's a lot more to talk about that's relatable to everyone. But I want to make sure people, if they, for some reason, are you should be tuning into the next episode, but for some reason you're not, the journey that you went on, not only just, we're talking physically, mentally, emotionally, through multiple careers, multiple things that you set out to do, multiple things where you were like course correcting, you know, and then you end up in the military retires you out. We're still going through all these things, some related, some not, with mental, emotional, physical health. And eventually you find Brandon, and you're at this point, you're trying to, you know, live your healthy lifestyle and do your thing. You find Brandon because you want to do powerlifting. And then you end up where you are now, which is just a thug. I mean, a badass in the gym. And you laugh at that because you're so like always trying to just be better yourself, one, you know, better than before, better than yesterday, better today. But the reality is the you now, I mean, you a few years ago in 2014, if you passed yourself in some sort of weird time space continuum now, you probably wouldn't even like.
I would want to be.
Does that look like me? Like it would just, you wouldn't recognize yourself, right? I mean, that's, you're a totally different person. I mean,
I appreciate that.
Still you, but I mean, I think you would just, and it's not even purely the physical aspect. I think it's just, there's so many things that you've learned and worked on and grown through. I really think you would pass yourself on the street and just be like, that guy looks pretty cool. Like, I feel like I'd like to be him. Right. Like,
well, you're very sweet, but you're right too. In a lot of ways, you know, the mental journey back is, you know, it's still ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have to think of it. You know, I jokingly say all the time, you know, when you guys are like, well, I want to, you know, move this kind of way. It's like, well, it's all relative. We'll get there. We're just not there yet. And I get why, because you see, you know, either your friends or somebody you look up to, like, I'm moving that kind of weight or I'm doing that kind of thing. We could, you know, translate that to business ventures like yourself. You know, someone's looking at you right now. It's like, I wish I could do a podcast like that. I wish I could talk to people like that. And the truth of the matter is you can. You just have to take the time to acquire the tools within yourself to do it. And it took me a very long time to get to this point. And, you know, multiple, we'll say, life coaches, as a matter of fact, too, on top of Brandon. It took a lot of reading. It took a lot of was introspection. Is that a word? Introspective.
That's the word.
and being very brutally honest with myself. And sometimes I catch myself not doing that too. Like even recently, as was it with my producing career, songwriting in general. It's like I'm playing a lot of music, but am I practicing it? I can't complain that I don't have these certain skill sets if I'm not actively practicing them, setting aside time to practice these skill sets. Like I can still come back and, you know, write and go through different chord progressions or keys or modes or whatever that, you know, it may be required to get that musical piece out. But if I'm not actively like practicing, believe me, practicing is boring, so boring. Oh my God, I can't stand it. But it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. It's just like, it almost feels like droning, and that's not musical. Even though the skills that you acquire are going to allow you to create some very musical things. Mm. It's just going through the process of listen to the metronome over and over and over until you want to eat tacks or something. It's not a good idea. Don't do that.
Actually, I think that segues us really beautifully into the second part. So we'll take a pause here and come back for part B, where we get to talk about what those practices look like in the day-to-day, because he's right. Practicing is often boring in the sense that it's not novel or new, but it's super, super necessary. And that comes down to anything, whether it is practicing the podcast, practicing music, practicing a mindfulness habit, practicing literally your training and your cueing and all of those things. I mean, it's practice. And that's, I think that's one of the things that we have to think about when we think about habits, is I think we still have this sort of framework around habits where we go, okay, if I do a habit for 30 days, now it's just a habit. And I'm like, that's true in some cases, but oftentimes you're practicing within that to form that habit. And it's really the practicing that makes all the difference, because you might have a habit for 30 days of drinking a glass of water every day, which is a great thing, but eventually the practice grows and a habit might stay the same. So you really, if you're looking for optimization, you're going to be looking for practices versus habits, because a glass of water should turn into two, should turn into three, should turn into four, until you get to the point that your water is like, if your habit might be, I'm going to play guitar for 5 minutes a day, and you could do that. But if you're practicing, it's a little bit of a nuance there. Sometimes they're the same, but in my mind, a practice gives you much more room for growth than just doing the same thing every day forever and ever. And they have their place. But when we're talking about the difference in growth and training, and what I want people to do is grow abundantly, which is where flourishing comes from, then we look at practices as a bigger piece of that puzzle. So obviously you can follow Billy on Instagram. He's a pretty cool dude. He answers lots of great questions. And obviously if you're interested in his music, he often posts that as well. He has one of the best social media handles I think I've ever found, because it plays on both his dualities of an athlete and also a musician. And it's at Sweaty Mercury. Which in the show notes, there's an underscore in there as well. So we're going to pop back into chatting about mindset and experiences, takeaways, and what to look for if you're looking for a coach. And we're going to do all of that in part B. So join us next week for that episode. And Billy, thank you so much for being here today. We'll pick up the conversation soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. See you guys next time on What in the Wellness. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening today. If you're interested in being a sponsor or a patron of this podcast to help us develop more resources and get more exciting things out into the world about the global perspective on integrative wellness and health, please feel free to reach out via email or message. And I look forward to seeing you and the new subscribers that you're going to bring to the podcast as we go along on this journey. Thank you so much for being here, and I wish you all the best and light and love as you continue throughout your day today.